Margaret won't give me a gavel. Ooh, that's loud. That'll work. That'll work as my gavel. All right. We're going to call this Budget and Finance Committee meeting to order. We have a quorum, and we will start out with our monthly financial report from Mr. Sanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry for the delay. Let's read the summary statement for court January 1st, 2023 through September 30th, 2023. County General Fund 1,000, $4,039,027.73. County Road Fund 2,000, $4,519,928.44. County Road Sales Tax Fund 3402, $4,112,959.53. Animal Welfare Control Fund 3404, $1,504,583.28. Criminal Justice Sales Tax Fund 3407, $2,444,527.63. Coronavirus Relief Fund 1005, $732,741.39. American Rescue Plan Fund 3046, $20,174,382.22. If you look down at the bottom, we're in pretty good shape on all the percent used of our appropriation, which is really a surprise. You know, we kind of anticipated with inflation that people need to ask for more budget, but everybody's doing real well with their spending, it looks like. You know, through September, we're through three quarters of the year. We're now in October in the fourth quarter, so anything under 75% on the expense side or over 75% on the revenue side is good numbers. If you'll turn on to page two, with our county general revenue, you've heard me saying it probably the last, well, since May, we are about $500,000 above where we were last year, but I think that may be some prepaid taxes. I will have a better idea in October. If we're still in the same spot in October, in November when we do the October reporting, we'll feel really good about it. But until I actually see it, I'm still hesitant to say where we are on that. And then here's where things turn down. So, sales tax. For the month of October, $1,136,845.90. That is down 2.23% versus September of last year. Now, we never went a negative, right? But we are still up 3.68% versus last year. We still should make our projection for this year. The big thing is, and I'm talking to people across the state, we are seeing that not necessarily a downturn, but a cooling off of these super inflated increases every month. So we're going to keep an eye on that. As long as we kind of, you know, stay 3.5% above last year, we're in good shape. And, you know, coming to the next page, that's the overall sales tax for 2023 through September, $10,342,580.16. That's 80% of our projected. And once again, on the last page, our three-month moving average is still above our one-year moving average. It is, however, they are both turned down. I anticipate that three-month moving average to get below the one-year moving average, but we're just going to have to wait and see. Are there any questions?
We deal in two main big sources of revenue. The sales tax, which funds portion of our roads department and portion of our criminal justice activities. The other portion is the ad valorem or property tax is another big portion of that. We're seeing sales tax numbers, sales tax revenues trend down. You don't think ad valorem is more of a solid thing.
Let's call them leveling off.
Okay.
Right now.
Okay.
We'll say trend down when we're not beating year to date, okay? But yes, trending down versus month to month over last year. But if you will remember, August, September, October of last year were large increases over the year before.
Yeah.
Okay. So as much as I want to say, hey, things aren't as good as they could be, they're also not as bad as they could be. Uh-huh. So let's not overreact to that.
Perfect. Thank you.
But back to your question, your ad valorem. Yes, more stable.
It's more of a more stable, more steady. Yeah.
And we should have some good numbers on that come next month.
Perfect. Yes.
So this 3.68% is the year-to-date average that we're over. Is there a number that has been projected, like last year? Did y'all project where we should be?
So if you flip to that next page, projected revenue for 23 is $13 million. Mm-hmm. Which is actually, I think, just a little bit lower than what we came in last year. But that's the projected revenue for 2023 and going forward to 2024. I want to see at least one more month of numbers before I project that, but we're probably going to project flat again. A lot of that being that the criminal justice sales tax fund 3407, that is really their only revenue. And we sure don't want to over-project that. I'm very cautious with the projection on the sales tax due to that.
So we're above the 3.68, we're above the $13 million on that.
Yeah, so that's what we're projecting. So if you take the 22 number, which is 13, 281,888, mm-hmm. and you multiply that out, if we stay at that same level, 3.28, we will be 3.28 above the 13,281. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Perfect, thank you.
But I don't anticipate being that high above that. Yeah, well, you know, I just report them now. I don't actually pay them.
Tell me more questions for Director Sampson.
I would like to say if anybody has any questions when the budget process begins, any questions about what's where and why, give me a call. I'm there. That's what I've got my head in right now.
I'm going to give the committee an option on whether or not they want to take up item 4 on our agenda tonight later on and do that budget orientation depending on how froggy they're feeling after our long meeting tonight. But
available for that or any time that y'all want to come by. I think you got to come by one-on-one. I don't think you can come by together. But just give me a call and we'll sit down as long as you want to.
Thanks so much. All right. Committee will move on to new business. We've got... do I hear a motion for proposed amended ordinance 23-26?
Make a motion to put proposed amended ordinance 23-26 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right, we've got a motion and a second. I want to say real quick before we dive off into proposed amended ordinance, y'all seen. I think last month we saw proposed amended ordinance XYZ on our agenda, and the month before that we might have also seen proposed amended ordinance XYZ on the agenda. And mistakes happen, and things happen, and we have to come back and fix them. You know, I just encourage all of our elected officials and all of our department heads to work together on items before they land on our agendas so that we do not have to continually revisit and fix ordinances that have typographical errors or other things in them. That's all it is just a call for communication and coordination, and I know our elected officials and department heads already communicate and coordinate on a lot of things. All right, so we've got 23-26. I'm not certain of the adjustment that was made in this ordinance, so I'll have to have I think I remember now, is the fact that it wasn't pointed out possibly that this was in the appropriations that the grant aspect was pointed out. You have something on that?
All right. This was a grant and it needed to go into a grant fund, the 3500 series. I believe it may have been put in 3407. It's purely accounting.
Yeah. You have any questions on that? A lot of times these grants, they need to go into their own funds so we can track when the money comes in and when the money comes out, the flow of all that.
And it's as much for auditors as it can.
Yeah.
And also, it didn't have the anticipated projected into the revenue stream last month either, so that's been corrected as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Any questions on this one, committee? All right. All in favor of the motion to pass this along to full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Get that one taken care of. I'll hear a motion for 23-28.
I make a motion to put ordinance 23-28 on the table for discussion.
Second that.
All right. We've got a motion and a second. I believe this was a similar issue as the last one. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. Any questions on 23-28?
What was changed?
It had to do with the fund.
Grant
fund.
Separate fund for a grant fund and to add the anticipated and projected section in here. All right, seeing no more questions, all in favor of 23-28, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, and that goes on to full court. All right, do I hear a motion for a new proposed ordinance, 23-29?
I'd like to make a motion we discuss ordinance 23-29.
Second.
All right, we've got a motion and a second. Let's see. I think Justice Coates spoke in Courts and Public Safety about the biggest number that shows up on this one, which is Section 7, $56,600 coming from 3404 to pay for expenses there in the development of the plan, of the animal control plan. Do you have any more words on that? You good with it?
Okay.
All right.
You may have some questions.
Just as y'all have any other questions on any of the other items on this list. All right. Hearing and seeing none. All in favor of passing proposed ordinance 23-29 to the full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, perfect. Y'all are doing a fine job. All right, I'll hear a motion for 23-34.
Make a motion that we put ordinance 23-34 on the table for discussion.
All right, we've got a motion and a second. So what proposed ordinance 23-34? This is something that we have done in the past and we try to do every year as the budget allows, which most of the time it does allow budget in the budget. A one-time pay increase is as how it's called here, $300 for all full-time employees and $150 for part-time employees. So what this is commonly referred to as, although it's not technically correct, is a Christmas bonus. Although that's not technically correct because it is a one-time pay increase. Do y'all have anything to say about this that I didn't say?
The reason we have it as a one-time pay increase is because then we do not have to tax it at as a bonus, so it gets more money into the employee's hands.
There you go.
It also goes to their retirement.
Oh.
Correct.
And this has been done in the past.
We've done this a lot of times in the past, and so as you'll look down through the different sections, a majority of the time, most of this money is able to come from what we consider above the line line items. So line items that fall within the personnel category, because you'll see unemployment. Okay, well, we had a little extra in overtime that we didn't spend, you know, down here, workers' comp, unemployment. Sometimes, though, when you look at, like, Section 2, we've heard from our county administrator and our county judge about how much work the maintenance department has been doing lately. They've been playing a lot of catch-up and doing a lot of hard work. So you can see here they had to pull from, they're asking to pull from $3,000. Line items to get this across the line, if that makes sense.
There is one appropriation where the money's being appropriated from the county museum. There was nowhere to transfer that money.
Do you know which line, which section?
Section 18.
And just so y'all know, the County Museum Fund is a fund, it's funded like the Animal Shelter Fund from a voluntary tax. Do y'all have any questions on this ordinance? I'll open it up to justices in the crowd. Do y'all have any questions on the one-time pay increase? Very good. All right. Give y'all a chance. All right. All right. We have no further questions. All in favor of passing proposed ordinance 23-34 onto the full court, say aye.
Aye.
All right. We'll move on to proposed resolution 23-09. Do I have a motion for this?
I'll make a motion to place proposed resolution 2309 on the table for discussion.
All right, we've got a motion and a second, and I will accept dialogue from our county attorney.
I didn't catch the second.
Justice Roberts.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Mr. Murphy.
Justice LaHossie may be able to speak better to this particular ordinance, given his recent studies, but I'll just briefly tell you what I know. We don't have anyone here from the chamber tonight. However, we were contacted by the director of the Conway Development Corp in regards to this particular proposed resolution. Some of our newer justices, this may be the first tax back resolution that you've encountered, but essentially the state has a program, and Scott may be able to speak more to it, but a program where a new business or an incentive to a business coming into Faulkner County or the state of Arkansas, their sales tax that they spend, they can apply for a rebate with the state. And obviously some of the sales tax that we receive, or basically the part of the entire sales tax, very small part, is county sales tax. And so this basically allows for UPS, who's building a new warehouse, I believe. I believe it's south of Sam's is where they're building their warehouse. And so, in fact, most of what they've already spent has probably already taken place. I don't think there's going to be a lot of money associated with this particular tax back program. Previously, this quorum court has done tax back resolutions for West Rock, and I'm trying to think who else we've done here lately. But essentially, it is agreeing to give the county portion of sales tax that they spend on new equipment there in their facility. So that's all I can say about that. Scott, anything that I left out that you'd like to add?
Is there an estimate of what it's going to cost us?
Yeah, I do not have an estimate of what it will cost. I do expect Mr. Jack Pillow or somebody from the chamber to be here in full court. I think tonight there was just a miscommunication on when they needed to show up. And so they would be the ones to provide that response for you.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Committee, do you have any questions or thoughts on this or anything? I got an email here that basically said the project plan, the total estimated project cost of $505,000. That's not in this thing right here, but it's in an application that they had submitted to the Arkansas Economic Development Commission on this topic. So I think you take that $505,000 and figure out what the sales tax would be on that.
But part of that has already been spent, or no?
I don't know the answer to that.
Half cent on that is $2,500.
$2,500. That's what we're missing out on, I guess, if we pass this, in theory. Any questions? Yes, Justin Moss.
Does my employer have to stand for
Thank you so much. Justice Moss is abstaining from the vote. Any questions, guys? Members of the court out in the audience, do you have any questions on this topic?
I'd just like to say that I think the jobs created by a new UPS facility are going to create much more than $2,500 in revenue for the county in the long run.
There you go. Perfect. All right, seeing no more discussions, all in favor of passing proposed resolution 23-09 to the full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, that passes on to the full court.
And I will just give you all notice, there's one more coming. That'll be next month, I believe, given that the chairman will add it to his agenda. But I believe the West Rock Distribution Facility is the next facility that the chamber is looking to have as part of that tax back program as well. They just, honestly, they got their information to me a little bit late, and so I didn't think it was fair to this committee without proper notice. So thank you for adding this, but next month be prepared for West Rock's distribution facility.
Just as y'all know, we have a very active Chamber of Commerce in the city of Conway that really helps manage not just the city of Conway, but the surrounding area. And as we see costs go up these days and inflation and everything else, I would expect as we see more projects potentially want to move into the county that we could see more of these fall in front of us. So like we'd have to consider these every time they come in front of us, what the cost is to the county. Is that something that we deem as beneficial or not? So that's just going to be up to us, I guess. All right. Thank y'all so much. All right, just as we're going to dive into the 8 proposed joint committee resolutions that have been passed through the personnel committee. Justice Kendrick mentioned it in his meeting that we don't only, and this is something I spent a couple of weeks ago visiting with every elected official and talking with them about their budgets and talking with to prepare for the budget season. And I think one thing that we as a court really have to be cognizant of when it comes to the salaries of our employees is not just parity, because we spent so much time discussing last year getting our people in line with the other Class 6 counties the best that we can. But I think we also have to look at, well, is people in the county with the similar job duties getting paid similarly across our offices? And if that's something that I guess whether or not we as a court agree upon or don't agree upon, that should be done. But that's definitely a point of discussion that we should have at some point in time. Justice Kendrick also mentioned in his committee that he was working to, I believe, with our treasurer to develop some sort of classification, employee classification, pay band type structure. I don't know exactly what they're putting together, but when I think of something like that, I think of a clerk one with these responsibilities under this office would have the same pay range as a clerk one in a separate office with the similar responsibilities. So I am really anticipating that, and I look forward to seeing that whenever we can get it, because I think that will help in this conversation when we talk about numbers.
Well, a huge development in that today is we got some numbers.
Okay.
after been asking for them for 6 months, we finally got them today and got some paper and stuff from another county that we're going to work off of. We've worked today on this stuff, and we will see something along with the budget stuff here. Very soon, within the next couple of weeks, we probably won't get it implemented for 2024, but because there'll need to be more discussion on it. But we will have an idea in place within the next month.
Okay, awesome. And I'd love to hit it hard in 2024, and I'll let you take that up with our personnel committee chair and that committee. I think they'll do a great job. I do also want to say in discussions with, so I'm going to go back to a budget thing real quick, but as our elected officials work hard to put together all the budgets that you see from their offices in our Faulkner County budget book. Once those are compiled and sent back, once those are put together from each office and sent back in, they go to the judge's office. The judge's office takes all those and puts them together into like one look. So we can have one look at what this budget looks like. That's when we are able to take a look at, all right, based off everything that's in this book that we have right now, what kind of COLA can we give? Based off of Scott's projections, based off of expenses, expected expenses for each office, what kind of cost of living adjustment. If you're not familiar with what a COLA is, it's a cost of living adjustment. In the past, it's usually just been a straight increased percentage that we just lay on top of every single salary in the county across the board, except our own. And so what, in discussions with Scott, I think this year it's not out of the realm to say that we would probably be looking at, and Scott, you slap me if I'm saying the wrong thing, I'm just going to give you a pretty broad range, but somewhere between a 3% and 6% cost of living adjustment increase. Obviously, that's going to be decided upon and voted upon as the court as a whole. But those numbers are going to come out of budget and finance to be presented to the court as a whole. So that's something that we'll discuss as well. Mr. Sampson.
Just to give a little bit of update, probably from where you and I have talked. Sebastian, the two counties that we lay right into mm-hmm. is Sebastian County and Saline County. Sebastian County is looking somewhere to 6% to 7% COLA.
Okay.
And talking to them, talked to Saline County today, and they're looking at a 5 coming off an 8 that they did last year.
Wow.
So the things that you're going to hear me talk about is CPI and inflation. Okay, so those are the things that we are trying to keep up with. It's very hard in this environment. But we've got to do something, a long-term plan, that we don't get in the predicament we were in last year and trying to get a baseline again.
Yep.
So we've got to use that. And I think every one of you that heard me say that the COLA ought to be our first expense, and that's y'all's decision, not mine. But so for so long we have done, well, let's just see what's left over and get a COLA out of it. And in my opinion, that's doing our county employees wrong. That's how they got so far behind. So I'm going to encourage you to do COLA first. You can do what you want, but that's just my encouragement. We are currently looking at, and these numbers were changed just a little bit. Our ad valorem is I think it's going to be around 6% increase. And you know, that's the meat and potatoes of our county general. And then we'll just have to see what our other funds are handling from that point, and who can handle it and who can't, kind of see where we can be.
And just to get some color on that, he spoke to the criminal justice fund. You know, so if we see stagnation with our sales tax, that reflects directly on our criminal justice sales tax fund with the sheriff's office and their potential increases.
And along that same line is they have seen dramatic increases over the last few years, so that they're not bumped up against their current deal. So it's just having to take a look at it and see where we are and see where we project out to be. It's those kind of things that we kind of have to tie it all in together to see how everybody can make it, and that's the key. We had gone through so many years of ad valorem being 1 and 1.5% or 2%, to where in these last 3 years we're at 7.5, 6.5, and like I said, we're projecting out to be just a little over 6 right now. I don't want to, those numbers aren't in stone yet. We're still looking at a few things on those, but we feel pretty confident in where we are as far as the revenue and envelope.
Do you have any questions just on that discussion point? Yes.
I don't know if they go necessarily with that discussion point, okay. But I have a few questions all over the board because there's a big learning curve here.
Yeah.
So last year, what was our COLA?
I think 4? We did 4.
I believe we've done 4 and maybe...
4 the year before that.
Maybe 4 the year before that, I can't recall.
No, I don't think it was 4 the year before. Was it not a 1.5 or
2?
Or 2? It was very low.
I can't remember. Mainly last year what we did was got, and I'm not saying we got everybody in line last year, but we got just about everybody in line last year and then put 4% on top of that.
That was my next
and
question.
So,
was we brought them up to baseline like you said last year. That's
kind of where, and we've talked about that. We've had discussions about, hey, let's get these to a baseline and then go from here. And I don't have to look back 5 years and look back. Now, we've got a few people here that have been kind of left, and we want to make sure we get them kind of in line. But for the most part, I think we did a good job. Y'all did a good job. I didn't do a thing except sit here. And got everybody in line, and we were able to do it within the budget that we had made.
Okay. Jessica, does that answer your question?
Part of them, yes.
Okay.
My other question is this, is if we make decisions tonight, when can we revisit this? When can the raises, you know, if we do decide to do a COLA, when can we look at the raises again? As soon as we do the COLA, or is there a certain time period that this has to be done in?
So, I believe it's the personnel manual, specifically says in there that the quorum court accepts increases, salary increases. We'll consider salary increases for personnel in the May and September meetings. I think that's right. So that's why we heard all of these. That's why all these were heard in September. So does that answer that question?
Yes, okay. Sir. But then when will the COLA take effect that we passed?
So the COLA, yes, generally. That's when it takes, because we're passing the 2024 budget, and that COLA is being applied to all those positions in the 2024 budget, which takes effect on January 1st. Usually the conversation in the past has been, do that, and pass the budget, the COLAs are applied, they take effect January 1st, and I believe that's why that April increase has been set as the month to listen to increases, is because it's by the time we get to April, we know how much money has been carried over, has been unspent from the 2023 budget and carried over into the 2024 budget. That's usually in an ordinance passed in either March or April, I believe, where we solidify those numbers and then kind of hear one-time pay increases or pay increases after that. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Anything over from that end of the room? Y'all good? All right.
I have a question for Planning Treasurer. Scott, you said that Celine has a 5% COLA and Sebastian has a 6% COLA. Is that something they've already said?
No, they've not said anything. That's okay. Just in their talks. Okay, so that's, okay. Don't hold them to anything. That's just me having a conversation with somebody and saying, hey, what are y'all looking at?
Okay. They've got 13 yeaters like us who sit around and slap that down.
You know, they can lay all they want, and they didn't say don't say that, so I guess I can say it. But, you know, I just want y'all to know what other counties are thinking about. Sure. Not necessarily what they're doing, but we do know that Celine went 8% last year. I want to say, and I didn't ask Sebastian, but I think Sebastian was in the 5-6 range last year. I believe the inflationary number last year ended up at like 6.3, and we're looking at about that. What I'm talking about is running October to October numbers. That's kind of when we do our work. And I believe it was 6.3 something. It's going to be about 6.1 or 6.2. It's not going to come off much this year. So we're still in an inflationary period. And hopefully we're going to come out of it soon. But I'm not seeing it yet when looking at the numbers from the Fed.
Okay. You look like you got something to say.
I hate to keep being the same one. That's all the questions. But all these things are going through my mind. Mm-hmm. Knowing the carryover in April, maybe it's just because I'm a new justice, but that would make me feel so much better if we knew what the carryover was before we did the raises, because I really would like to see the COLA keep everybody in based on where they are. All of us know what the cost of living has gone up. I mean, it's hit all of us. And so that's my thinking, is that I would feel more comfortable waiting, but then in the same breath, when I look at some of these positions, I think some of them are raises, and then some of the positions are, I don't know if they're new, but they've evolved into different, their job descriptions have changed.
Yeah.
And so for those that have changed or that are new, and the one that keeps coming to mind is the coroner's office, the deputy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is a new position, correct? So, I mean, he's doing that job, but not being paid
I think they're trying to classify it as more of a chief deputy position than a normal, because the coroner currently does not today have a chief deputy. And so I think that's their intent with the increase in the...
So that's an evolving position that has evolved over the year, this year.
And like I said, if we look at that and we decide not to pass that tonight, we can really, so it's up to the court, right? If the court makes its own rules, the court can break its own rules for the most part, as far as the April and September time frame. It just takes a vote to do so. So you could look at something, you can look at these tonight and pass ones like that you see as a concern, and the committee can have a discussion on those that they see as a large concern. Or like you said, you could delay those increases. You could look at putting that COLA, whatever that COLA is that we decide on, and then look at those increases again in the spring, in the April time frame.
If I may.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to piggyback off of what Justice Coates was saying, and I do think that at the last meeting we talked about some positions that were legitimate one-offs. You know, this position really has evolved, or this person is really being underpaid. And Jeff brought it up earlier that we're really doing our county a disservice by underpaying our employees, right? Because the time that it takes to train them, we've probably all had experience with people that are career oriented or are just holding a position and cashing, getting a paycheck. I would like to see this court look at these individually and make decisions based on what the need is for that position instead of just doing kind of an overhaul vote.
So to clarify, you mean bring up certain positions, but that have evolved, like we talked about, bringing those up to the baseline, like what we talked about?
Exactly. Exactly. For instance, the coroner, you talked about the deputy. Obviously, that needs to be addressed. The legal assistant is one that I think needs to be addressed. I mean, we can go line by line. If, you know, I don't know the best way to do it. Again, learning curve, but I would hate to not voice that.
Absolutely. So I'll tell our committee my opinion, I guess. I'll tell you my opinion, my personal opinion. I'm going to piggyback like what you did off what she said. It made me feel better because we don't know what kind of COLA we're looking at this year. You know, it could be a higher COLA, like 6 or 7%. It could be in the 4% range. It just depends on what does the numbers come back. You know, what do the numbers look like? And I do agree with Scott that next year, or we could possibly do it this year, lay the COLAs on top first. So this is where we want to be. This is what we're putting first. We're going to lay these on top, and y'all make decisions, budgetary decisions, based off that. But to be able to look at the COLA and to possibly put some of these off until the spring to look at after we get our carryover back and after we see really what's going on. Now, like I said, that's my personal opinion. We're a committee of five, and we all five have votes on this. So to do exactly what you're talking about, we can go down this list here, and because y'all make the motions, you can motion to consider or discuss any of these resolutions that you deem you want to consider and discuss.
It would also be super helpful for me to talk about where these positions are paid out of. Mm-hmm. Because I'm new and I hear county general, I hear all these different things.
Yeah.
And then as I've been talking to some of our elected officials, and I find out that they're actually paid out of a different kind of revenue, if you will, that comes in, it would help me to understand where that money's coming from, if we can afford to pay that raise now versus waiting.
I agree. That was my next question. I know the assessor is paid, their money comes from different...
Are we wanting to do an overview real quick?
I'm so sorry.
No, we'll walk it on down.
No, it's good.
So let's start in very simple terms. Let's go over here to our revenue section. Okay, so I'm just going to go through these fairly quickly, and you stop me. We'll go back to whatever you want. Okay? And my eyes are going, and it's print small, so bear with me.
One of my glasses?
May need them.
Yeah.
I'm sure all the good news.
The best thing you've ever wanted.
Are you kidding me? Anyway, so let's talk about county general revenue. Just real cut and dry. We get some money back. It's called state aid. It's from the state. It's not really the state's money that's giving it to us. They're just reimbursing us for stuff that they collect for us. State aid, it's pretty cut and dry. Property tax, once again, cut and dry. These are ad valorem property tax. This is your real property, your personal property, anybody's got business property. The taxes that are due on the 16th. And so we know roughly what that's going to be. That's one of the ones that I can hone in pretty tight on. Fines, forfeitures, and cost. That's if you get a some sort of court fine, any court costs, things like that. This is one of these that's been trending down just a little bit lately. Those aren't necessarily, we just kind of look at a trend to see what we're going to do with those numbers, okay? Interest income, if you'll see right there, it's $100,000. I think we're going to break that in half. I mean, it's going to be much, much more than that. And next year, we're going to have a pretty good year with interest income. These rates are really good, and we've been able to get into some really good, I'm not saying extremely long-term, but long-term enough things. It's going to keep our rates good for another year. Officer fees, once again, that's sheriff's fees or other elected offices that have fees for things, services that they do. Jail fees, this is typically reimbursement from the state, and they say it's reimbursement if they don't reimburse us fully. They give us $40 a day now, Kevin. Did we just talk about that, I believe? Okay, so mainly it's the majority of that revenue, I think, is just for the adults on the $40 a day. And so we have a little bit of revenue there. Now, once again, when you look at that revenue, no, it costs more than we're bringing in. So it's kind of it helps defer the cost, but it does not pay for it whatsoever. The other could be things like refunds, but somebody has a donation or just some other kind of odds and ends on that 8700 series. So what we do there is we come up with a projected revenue for 2023. Then the treasurer gets a 2% commission on all receipts. So that is marked off negative there so that we don't anticipate that when it's not actually there. Then we'll have any transfers in. We don't do a whole lot of transfers anymore, but we have a couple. You should come down to a transfer. That's transferred. Then $1 million gets transferred out to capital improvement fund. That's something that we set years and years ago, and it stayed the same. And then a little bit got transferred this year to criminal justice fund, and I think they're taking that next year. The worst not going to be transferred again. But you'll come up with you'll take that fund balance of 1,123 plus all of our pluses and minuses on the revenue and come up with a total available. What's recommended fund reserve? It's recommended by the state or in law by the state for 10% reserve. At the county, we've always held 12% reserve, just that extra 2%, just in case things get bad. And we've had it before where they've gotten bad and we've had to dip into that 2% of the 12. But we can do that if we need to. It gives you an available to appropriate. And as you can see, now this is the original budget for $13,251,778. A couple things I want to mention on this. When you first see when we start coming into 2024, that fund balance 1,123 is going to be an estimated number. That's a number that is going to be my best guess. And of all the revenue stuff that we do, that's the hardest part because I'm having to try to guess what we're doing the last quarter in revenue and on expenditure side. So we'll balance a number that's pretty close. As the chairman said, come March, when all the expenditures are made, we will know that exact number that we turn over at the first of the year, and that number we'll do an appropriate amendment, and that number will bounce around there, and you'll have a new appropriation amount. When it comes to health insurance, this is monies that is paid per each position, and it's paid into this fund. We're kind of semi-insured. We pay part of our own insurance there on claims and stuff. That's a fund, what I call a pass-through fund, so it's a fund that monies come in, monies go out, kind of pays for itself. CARES Act, y'all know what CARES Act is. That's money that's been sitting there from CARES Act. The only revenue that we're going to anticipate in there is some interest income. So whatever interest we pull off of that. This local assistance and tribal fund is some more stuff that was tied in with that, the ARP funds. We didn't project any revenue, but we revenued another $50,000 in 2023. Should have $100,000 in there, plus whatever interest kind of accumulates. Commissary, once again, this is a pass-through fund. This is done by the sheriff's office. This is monies that the sheriff's office uses to buy, and I could let the sheriff's office talk more about, but essentially they buy goods and then resell them. And then the cost of goods sold go back into this fund. Proceeds go to the sheriff's fund. Proceeds from goods sold go to the sheriff's fund. And some of the stuff I'm having to try to remember and not mess with in a while. So County General apportioned, 1805. This is one, once again, a pass-through fund. These are expenditures, and this is probably going to go back to where you're talking about assessors. Assessor and collector are paid back for all their office expenses through current tax. Okay? My office, the treasurer's office, is paid back through my office expenses through these commissions that you've seen here that are charged to all receipts. I believe the civil attorney may be in there as well.
Right? Yes.
Phil? Okay. And I may be leaving somebody out. Anybody else? Collector, assessor. Okay. So that's all of their appropriation. Capital Improvement Fund, we talked about $1 million goes to every year. You'll see what the carryover is. The projected revenue is $1 million. And then the only other revenue it'll have is some interest revenue. And I'm just going to kind of highlight the ones that have salaries coming out of them, because we could go through all these all night if we stuck to it. County Road, it has its own taxation. Okay, so there's a 2.8 mil tax of ad valorem that goes straight to road and do not go anywhere else, cannot be used for anything else. So road has its own fund there. You'll see some state aid money that comes back, then your property taxes, your income, and it's all broken out. And you will have salaries out of County Road Department. Additional motor fuel tax is, I believe in 2021, they passed this. This is pretty much County Road money, but the governor at the time, when he passed an additional tax, he wanted that put in a different fund so they could track it better. And that's all that is. It's just a different fund, still County Road money. County Treasurer Automation Fund is money off of the commissions, and there's no salaries out of that. Collector's Automation Fund is, the collector gets 4% of all tax revenue. And do you have salaries out of your collector's automation? There are some salaries out of that. But that when we get into these agency funds like this, these 3,000 numbers, they can only be used in that fund. Okay, they can't go anywhere else. And that money that does not get spent gets carried over back into that fund. Circuit Court Automation, we revenue a little bit in there, but mostly that money goes, transfers out to some expenditures in County General. Assessor Smith, 79 money, once again, is, I don't think there's
salary.
You have a part-time salary in there. So anytime that you see a salary with a fund of one of these 3,000 numbers, know that it can only be used in that fund. It can't be used somewhere else or County General or anything like that. That money cannot transfer out. County Clerk Cost Fund, I don't think there's anything. County Quarters Cost Fund, the circuit clerk runs her whole office out of this fund. Nancy, is that right? We got that changed a year or so ago, that where they are no longer have anything out of County General. It's all out of the Recorder's Cost Fund. Is that correct? Okay. So you will see some salaries out of that fund. Sheriff's Automation is kind of small. County Library, once again, this is another fund in which it has its own tax. There is a 1 mil tax for County Library, and those monies can only be spent out of the County Library Fund. As a little bit of state aid comes back into it, and there are absolutely salaries out of the County Library Fund. Property reappraisal is a pass-through fund in which we use to pay for reappraisal through the assessor's office. Child support, drug control, breathalyzer are all pretty small funds. Jail operations and maintenance is it's a fee fund where fees from incarceration maybe go into it. You'll have to. Jail fines, okay. Jail fines, fees fund. Do you have any salaries coming out of that? No salaries in that. Then there's County Detention Fund, which is also known as booking fees. There's no salaries out of it. 911 PSAP is its own fund. This is from our 911 revenues. There are salaries that come out of that. This is the two in the back there. They'll tell you more about it if you want to know more about it. But there are some 911 stuff that comes out of County General as well. Am I correct in saying that?
No.
No 911. Peace out. Nothing out of County General anymore?
No.
Okay, great. Awesome. Sorry. Public Defender, Victim of Crimes. These are all just real small funds. They don't have any salaries coming out of them. Flip over here. It seems like... okay, so you'll get down to your American Rescue Plan Fund. You know there's no more revenues coming into it other than interest. Okay, so we'll just now deal. Emergency Squad, this is where the 3400 series is where some of your voluntary tax funds start. We know that voluntary tax has really fallen off in the last couple of years, and we are working to see how to redo any of that. But there's no salaries that come out of Emergency Squad. Museum does have a salary coming out of it, if I'm correct.
Yes.
That's correct. Okay. And with those revenues not holding where they were, we've got probably some stuff to do there. County Gross Sales Tax, this is where half of, the sales tax we talk about every month, this is where half of that goes. That is their pretty much only income that comes in other than interest. Okay, so you're going to have quite a few salaries that come out of that fund. And I think Tyler talked about it just a little bit ago. Animal Welfare Control, once again, this is our animal shelter fund. This is a voluntary tax fund. This is the fund that was used to purchase the building on 65, and then I think they're appropriating some more money to it right now to do some remodeling. Federal drug forfeiture. Okay, so the next big fund is your criminal justice. I'm sorry, I said that wrong, Fondo. 3404 is your county road sales tax. So that's the road portion of that half of sales tax. 3407 is your criminal justice portion. County road sales tax. Was there any salaries in county road sales tax, or is that all just asphalt? Okay. So there are some out there. 3404 is the road. There are no salaries in 3404?
No.
Okay. I'm sorry. 3402. 3404 is animal. Tell you what, my eyes. Okay. So teen court, you're going to get the teen court and juvenile court programs. Soil conservation extended. Once again, those are two more of those voluntary taxes that in which we service those deals. In the end, FEMA flood control was a pass-through, and we didn't have any revenue in it this year. Don't know if we'll have any next year. Once again, that's a pass-through fund. Then you get into the 3500 series, and these are all grant funds from here on out. And I don't think anything Jail Juvenile Grants 3506 is a grant fund that pays a portion of a salary in the county general, and it just passes through the grant, but we have to put it through the grant, like we kind of talked about a while ago, for those kind of deals. I'm just trying to see what else is.
I think that takes care of most of that.
I think that's the rest of them are pretty
question,
small.
Justice Roberts.
Well, I hate to just blow through them like that, but that's just kind of giving you an overview. And you can see that there are a lot of funds that we have that the revenue goes in there is just there. And so the appropriations that you make, if they don't spend those appropriations, it's not like they have to go get it again. They've still got the money. You just got to reappropriate it for the next year. If that makes sense to everyone?
It does. Okay. And I guess what I'm trying to get at is if we have enough money in some of those in those funds to pay for a raise that's being asked for, mm-hmm. why wouldn't we do that? I honestly don't know, so I'm asking. And is there no way that we do the COLA and we're able to bring these positions that are way below par, so to speak?
We can do both. We can if we pass these raises tonight, which the committee resolution says that these would be addressed in the 2024 annual budget process. So what we pass tonight would go into the annual budget to then have that same COLA put on top of these.
Okay.
So if we pass these tonight, that is what would happen. They would get these increases, and then a COLA would go on top of that. One question that I really don't know the answer to, and we could maybe hear that from each of the elected officials if we want to hear these all separately, is when you asked for these increases, did you anticipate a COLA? You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, and that answer could be across the board. It could be completely different for each elected official because we don't know what went into that. But I think to answer your question, and this may be more of a conversation for the personnel committee, if you have a large fund that is flush with cash, right? They just have a lot of money because their revenue source is doing great. They're one of these special funds, so we can't shift that money over to the jail or anything else like that. And like you said, should we give increases if they're asking for it? It's just, and that's the question. Should that position be at the level that they're asking at? Mm-hmm. You know, and to make sure that there's parity with the rest of the county in those positions, because other funds may not be as flush with cash as some other funds, and they can't afford to pay their clerk one $52,000 a year. Does that make sense?
I hear what you're saying.
Yes, okay. Justices, how would you like to proceed?
I think I have one more question.
Yes, ma'am.
Because the assessor stuff is first, or it's coming mm-hmm. up first,
mm-hmm.
assessor was... I remember last year you explained that your money comes differently. Is that different funds? Because the part I remember was it seems like it cost us this much, but in reality it just cost us this much.
Yes, that's what he was just saying.
So that's out of fund 1805. And 1805 is reimbursed from, like I said, different apportionments. So once again, the collector and assessor both are, their office funds are paid back by through collectors and apportioned, which is a whole back of taxes that we don't send out until the end of the year. So when we take those expenses out, then we net that revenue at the end of the year for current tax. So the portion that County General, it's not an expense to County General, it's just a net revenue of, I think it was 7%, but I don't have that number of the total cost. Does that make sense to you? So if it says, but if it's $10,000, then 7% of 10,000 is 700. Is that my math right on that?
Yeah, you
just
do roughly,
yeah.
If we ask for 30,000, it costs something hundred.
That was why those departments were moved out of County General into 1805 to differentiate kind of apples to apples.
And assessor and collector are the only two that are...
Assessor, collector, treasurer, civil attorney. I think that's it.
And so kind of the conversation that I was having with Justice Roberts is it's easy for us to approve the assessor's things because, well, it only costs us 10%. But when you look at our county clerk, you know, her budget is strictly out of County General, which we have 17 eyes on constantly and are very picky about. So that's why we have to be cognizant, as although it's easy to say, well, these increases are easy to give because they're only 10% or cost or 7, like Scott said, are all the positions across the county, you know, are they level where they need to be? That's just a point of conversation, you know, that's where the pay range conversation comes in and the classification schedule and all that fun stuff. I think we've got about three options here that we can move forward on. We can take all these ordinances up one by one and discuss them all and either choose to pass them or fail them or table them. Tabling is really the same as failing. I like to say it's not no, it's just not yet, you know, but it's all the same. We're still not passing it tonight. We could motion to, I'll have to ask the county I don't know if we can motion to approve all of them at once, but we can motion to table all of them at once. That's another option. Or you could, we can probably just pick and choose off the agenda if we want to. It's up to y'all. Y'all are the motioners.
But regardless of what we do, it's made by a motion.
It's made by a motion.
Yeah. And then second.
I motion to discuss proposed committee resolution 23-02. You could do that, and we could take it one by one. If you want to skip over one, you could. I will allow it as we can jump around on the agenda as we want to here. Is that within my authority? All right. Or we can make one motion to possibly just table all of them if that's something that the committee would want to do. It's really up to y'all.
At this point, this is just my comment, I don't really feel comfortable tabling everything because I really feel like some of these positions are either somewhat new or have evolved, and I really would like to discuss some of those because in the time period that we have, some of them are huge, right? I mean, they're big differences. Those people could possibly leave, and I would hate to lose good employees because we didn't take the time to stay here tonight and go through one by one. But in the same breath, I don't necessarily, and this is my opinion, I don't necessarily feel comfortable passing all of the raises at this point because I really would like to see the COLA first and even the carryover. Not that all the raises are not deserving because I don't feel that at all. Spending that much money before I see the carryover makes me a little nervous.
Mr. Treasurer.
I want to speak just a minute on carryover.
Yes.
We do have to use that carryover number, okay? We have to use that carryover number, and that's just the way the budget process works. There's going to be a number that we're going to come up with a revenue number, a projected revenue number, and we won't stay somewhere close to that. Not saying we can't spend a little bit more than what our revenue number is going to be, but we want to stay in line. We do not, just because we may have $3 million, $4 million carryover. I don't know. But if we start getting in the habit of spending $2 million more than what we're going to revenue, we're not going to have it very long. Those are great for one-time expenditures. If you need a new air conditioner or a bunch of air conditioners, if you need to do something else one time, they're great. But when we're talking about salaries and that type of thing that are repetitive and are going to keep going, we've got to be very careful and we want to spend that carryover money on that when it's out of line with our revenue.
No, I'm sorry for confusing that earlier because I totally agree with what Scott said. That I believe, if I remember, that was past Corb Court's decision on when they chose to look at salaries in the conversation. I'm going to, Justice Allison raises his hand.
I'm just wondering, I don't think y'all thought about this already, but you're not passing raises tonight. This is just resolutions to allow the elected officials to put these proposed raises into their budget numbers.
Correct, yes.
So I don't want y'all to think that you're actually passing the raises tonight, and that these could be passed into that where they could put that in the budget numbers, and if I'm not mistaken, y'all could run the numbers with the carryover or with the COLA and the raises, two separate sets of numbers for us to look at in the budgeting process later on. And you could attack those line by line later on. I'm just trying to think,
we
may be making this extremely difficult on our elected officials by not giving them the authority now. And in the past, at the last minute, we've come up with ways to change, and they had to throw things together in December on the budgeting process where if you, this is your committee, but if you were to pass these resolutions, it would allow the elected officials to put the raises into the budgeting process, which could later be adjusted and amended, maybe making it easier on the elected officials. That's just off the bank.
Like John said, anything in the budget, when it comes up to vote, you never know what can happen, right? We could get a wild hair and start motioning to do all sorts of things, and everyone jumps on board, and all of a sudden we've shot the cow, and there it goes, So, yeah, that's correct. It has happened before. There has been discussions in the past over, let's give a COLA to everyone except those who got raises. To me that complicates the whole situation. That just complicates everything. I'd rather not go that route, but of course I don't get to make that decision. I'm 1/13 of that decision. So it's to consider. Justice Moss.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to see COLAs first on this. And I would motion that we table this until the spring so that we can see what the COLA ends up being.
All right, Justice Moss has a motion on the floor. We'll need a second to discuss.
Can I clarify that? So that would be all of them, correct? And we would not discuss them, the evolved positions. That would be all of them would be tabled.
Correct.
That's Justice Moss's motion. Do I hear a second on the motion? All right. Motion dies for lack of second. Do I hear any other motions?
I'd like to make a motion to discuss the resolutions one by one.
We don't have to do that. You can just take it up as the first. Yeah. You can just say you want a motion to discuss 23-02, and we'll just go in order.
And go over each one.
Yeah. And we'll just take that one first and vote on it, and then we'll go down to the next one and vote on it. Does that make sense?
It does. I make a motion to discuss resolution 2302.
One second.
All right, we've got a motion and a second. Any discussion on 23-02? Our assessor passed out a packet of information to you all. It's the one with the black and white bar graphs on it. If you want to reference that document.
And this is one of the positions that's not funded out of county general.
So it's a technicality. It's funded out of the 1,000 fund, which is county general, but we've taken it out to so we can look at it separately because it's refunded at a 90% refund. Is that good?
You're bad close.
So as only my part time.
So
job.
Anything that starts with a one. According to a legislative audit, it's county general money. It can be used at anything, anytime, anyway, anyhow. The Quorum Court can do what the Quorum Court could take, I would hope you wouldn't, but you could take every bit of the health insurance fund and say, we're going to put it in county general 100 and we're going to spend it on line motion, whatever. We segment that those things so that we can account for them better, right? And that's why those departments were moved out so they could be seen more clearly, okay? Now, they are refunded at 100%. So 100% is going to go back into that, okay, as a refund. However, when you start looking at the revenue side, there for your revenue, you're going to have a tick down in your net revenue because of it. You'll probably never notice it. You know what I mean? I'm not saying it's not there because it is, but it's negligible at the point. Tyler, I need to step over.
Just a question. So as I look through these numbers, the increases are not a significant amount. So are these, when I talked about evolved positions, these to me look mostly just like salary increases and not necessarily getting anything back in baseline. Is that?
These were just getting us back in line, like you said, where Sebastian and Celine were last year with those salary surveys. We ran the salary survey for 2023, and that was, again, getting us in line to where they are.
And like Mr. Sanson said, you know, last year, you know, where we gave a 4, Celine gave an 8.
Right.
So that probably makes up the difference
here. But this year we could give an 8, and I could give a 4.
It's always the game that we play, yes.
Once again, I will have a better comparison to Celine County, hopefully within the next week or 2 weeks. We're going to just kind of a line-by-line deal on that. I don't want to promise something I can't provide, but I've started working on today. And once again, we're probably 2 weeks too late with it, of course, but we're going to have a better idea. I'm not trying to influence anything. I've got something in here. You know what I mean? I'm trying to do what my job is, and that's to give you all the best information I can, no matter which way it works for me.
I don't know what the parameters are, what they're working on for like the levels of the deputy one, deputy two, But I'll also, in this, try to categorize what it will look like in the future so that once these go, we shouldn't be coming back in the future. It should just be COLAs from now on.
And I don't want to get too in-depth on what we're working on. Right. It will not be for 2024. We just don't have the time. But I think it's better to kind of walk into that somewhere else. But I know what you're doing because we talked about it.
Yes, and I feel like what I just asked for is what he just asked for his deputy, what Margaret just asked for her deputy. I feel like we just put them in line of where I feel like we're going to be when they get finished with what they're going to present. To where from now on we should pretty much be in the parameters as long as other counties don't go crazy with the COLA. I feel like we're going to be in the future looking at just COLA increases to keep us where we are after we're set.
Oddly enough, I was going to kind of ask that with you. Probably not as sophisticated a question as you just articulated, but our chairman had mentioned 90%. Was that accurate? And then where does the 10% go as far as the county general? How did you reference it? It was like a 10% is reimbursed or 90% is reimbursed or something like that.
From the state, yeah.
So the 10%.
Okay, I'm a little bit confused on where we're at here. What are we talking about?
I'm talking about the state refund on this 1805.
Yeah, it's what you said.
Okay, so it's not reimbursement.
Yeah, it's not a state refund.
It's not state reimbursement. It's taxes. It's taxes for y'all, receipts for me.
Yeah.
Okay. And so there is no reimbursement. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, yeah.
But what it is when we talk about county general, well, it's county general 7% of the pro rata of all the tax-paying entities, okay? And if 7% is wrong, then I apologize. That's just what's in my head. It's not in front of me. It could be 9, but I know it's not more than 10.
So if we're right, we collect all the taxes. They go to Scott's treasurer, and at the end of every month, he sends out a check to all of the taxing units.
Yeah.
And so, he retains a certain portion of that back to run our offices with. So that's basically a kindergarten version.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna give you
the first grade version of that.
And I walk in his office, I make him make a simple
plan. So what we do here is
he talks over
Sherry collects tax. She assesses taxes and says what it's worth. Sherry collects taxes and says, hey, get these things paid by the 16th. If you don't, they're gonna be delinquent. If they're delinquent long enough, we're gonna send them somewhere. We're gonna get them collected. It's not that our collection percentage is, we're always going to get a tax. We're going to get a tax money. Okay? It's just when. It's a time payment. They turn the money over to me with a say, here's how much whoever gets. And we reimburse that taxing entity, whether it's a city, school, county general, county road, county library, whoever has ad valorem taxes. We remit 90% of that. Okay? At the end of the year, when it's all said and done and all current taxes have been brought in, we go and do what we call a final tax settlement, which takes out office expenses and property tax relief money, and it prorates whatever's left over to all the taxing entities, okay? And that's when you get the rest of it. Now, taxing entities get 98% roughly of what their tax base is when it's all said and done. And the numbers that I've run, it's pretty cut and dry over the last since 2010 when I've been running numbers. So that's how it all works. So that's what we're talking about with the 10% withholding, and then we clean everything up at the end of the year by all expenses. There's some money that comes into that for reappraisal costs and things like that that clean everything up at the end of the year.
So one more question. I hope my brain doesn't have more questions tonight. So let's say we pass this and it goes on to budget. When would this be reflected out of the budget overall? Like, is that 24 or?
Okay, say that one more time so I understand.
So, we passed this, not necessarily vote on it tonight, but we passed it and we passed it. When would that reflect the budget? Like, all these salaries going
up? So, if it's my understanding, I don't want to count on the separate proposals you're talking about, but what I understand these proposals will go in the budget book, in which the full court will approve the budget book. We usually do it in December. That budget starts January 1st, 2024. And that's when those expenditures can be written against that budget.
And I appreciate your patience.
No. I just want to make sure that I'm clear because I don't want to misrepresent anything.
Injustice.
So mine looks like this. I brought it. So if this was to pass tonight, this is what we have actually turned into the judge officer, getting ready to turn into this. So So if this was to pass tonight by y'all, then what we give to them, we would enter these raise requests in this category over here to show. And I don't know if y'all looked at any of this yet or if they've showed y'all. And it'll show you the difference over here so that you'll be able to see. And then when y'all get the budgets back from the judge's office in a packet, y'all will be able to see each one of these departments and the differences that y'all have passed as a whole, when y'all get the whole budget as a whole.
And we like to take these up separately, because when you're passing the budget and you're debating on spending $50 million, you don't want to have a salary increase conversation while you're trying to pass the rest of the stuff in this book. Yeah.
I'll say we've had those conversations in the past, and it's messy. It's better to have it hashed out now.
More messy than this?
No. These were years ago. But, if you can hash it out now, it'll be a lot better than wait until December and we're trying to get something passed and everybody wants to get out of here. That's just from me being here for a few years at all. That's just my comment on it.
Till in November, when we go to pick up the county assessor's budget and vote on it, you would see, if we pass this tonight, you would see these increases reflected in each different position line item.
It would look just like that.
Yeah, and we wouldn't. And
but
that's
we're
what
not
we would
see the cover up.
No.
We're gonna have a spreadsheet that shows you what those COLAs would look like. Yeah. Is that a good answer? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if we table these or don't vote them in, our only other option to look at them would be April.
Is it March or April?
May. It's May.
May.
I'm sorry. It's May.
It's whatever the county personnel manual
it's
says.
May.
Unless y'all want to change that.
And just exactly like what he said. That's a rule that we made so we can change. You know, by 2/3 vote or whatever, we can choose to go outside of the rules we made and consider them on their own separately.
I do agree it's less complicated to do salaries early in the year and then only do a COLA in September for the budget process instead of trying to do this every fall.
We've worn them down, folks.
I agree.
I don't want to speak for everyone, but I would be willing to withdraw mine in place of y'all discussing the COLA to get that dealt with and deal with mine in May. I know Chrissy has said the same. I would think Susan would be an exception to that. I don't know about Scott or the sheriff.
We have said that since y'all are talking about mine, I'll just tell you. We have said that if it would mean making it simpler for the COLA and not complicating stacking them or doing or not, whatever discussion it is, to do a COLA across the board and then come back in May, whatever, in May. See where we're at. See what the other counties actually vote on to see what they do in Class 6. I know, Scott, we call counties, I do too. We talk about discussion. Like Scott said, they're not set in stone until they vote, just like y'all. And come back in May, see what they did do, see where we're at after the COLA, see where we're still under compared to them, and then look at them then. I would be willing to do that too. With ours, if that's what it takes. And then y'all look at the other ones, like you said, that need to be looked at more closely.
Okay, so with that being said, we would entertain a motion to table Resolution 2302.
Are you making a motion?
Yes. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on tabling Joint Committee Resolution 23-02? All in favor of tabling 23-02, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. One down.
I make a motion that we put Resolution 2303 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right. We've got a motion and a second.
And I will say I'm not opposed to tabling mine, but I don't know what, since I have my own fund, what effect that has on everything. But I do have
surveys. So we can discuss real quickly. I'll tell you all about her fund. Our circuit clerk takes in all the recording of deeds and stuff like that, and so she gets a lot of revenue from those costs and fees that are associated with recording those things. And last year we made, I believe last year we made the move to, for that office to be fully funded out of its own fund. So she doesn't touch county general at all. She lives out of her own fund, strictly from the revenue and the fees that are collected from the business that that office does.
Question. And this position that you're asking for, the deputy clerk three, is that the same position that's been standing all of those things and you're changing your record system over? Is that
yes? She is the real estate supervisor, and she is actually, so I have a chief deputy, but if I were out and Becca were out, she's next in line. But we haven't started our scanning project yet. We did do real estate, and she's been back indexing all of that, if that's what your question is.
I'm just asking, has it evolved, or is it just a salary increase?
It's a salary increase.
More questions from members of the committee? All right. Justice Coach, just to confirm, do you have a motion for the passage of 23-03? To pass that on or to approve it?
We're just discussing at this point, but I will make a motion to table resolution 2303 at this point.
We have a motion.
A second.
And a second. Any discussion on tabling 23-03? All in favor of tabling 23-03, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. What is the pleasure of the committee?
I make a motion to put 2304 on the table for discussion.
All right, we got a motion and a second. Any discussion on 23-04? This is with Mr. Murphy.
If I may, just briefly explain to the court, out of respect to all others that are making a request tonight, this request is a little bit different, perhaps, than the ones that have come before the court so far. Often we ask our staff to make salary surveys in comparison with other counties. I would call those inter-county comparisons. We're not, in this particular position, although it can be justified through an inter-county review, it's really an intra-county issue, and why we're asking for this increase. Basically, we are asking for this increase so that two positions that work side by side can make the same amount of money, that it's a disparate pay that we're giving one employee that we're not giving the other employee. And without going into great detail about why this particular person is worthy of, or why this particular position is worthy of an increase, I would just ask for this court to consider the pay increase and send that on to full court, because this is really more of an intra-office issue where we're trying. A COLA will never fix this problem. If we continue giving COLAs, it's just going to continue to have the pay disparity. So this would allow us to fix that issue. Thank you.
So it was one that was kind of left behind last year but didn't come up to the baseline of her peer in the office.
That's correct. And what makes things a little more confusing is the peer in her office is paid through a different fund. So it's very confusing with all the different funds, I understand. But we have two employees that work side by side, but because they're paid through different funds, one was given an increase, whereas the other was not.
I'd like to make a motion to pass resolution 2304.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the passage of 23-04? All in favor of approving 23-04, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. All right. What is the will of the committee?
Make a motion to put resolution 2305 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Discussion on 23-05 in committee. I'll just say, just looking at this, at first glance, I would say any decent COLA would take care of half of this, maybe a little more than half. Ms. Woolley is there, if y'all have any questions there for her. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
When you put these together, did you anticipate any COLA?
I used the data in the salary survey, so
okay.
No.
So no, okay. Thank you.
And to answer kind of what you had just said right before that, if we did, I just ran the numbers earlier before court. This includes 172 employees. That's how many employees or positions that we have across all of our funding payroll sources. And out of the increases, out of 172 positions, we are requesting pay increases for 113 positions. That's what the data from the salary survey showed, that those positions were lacking. And then if we did, I ran the numbers real quickly after we got here and heard a little bit more. If we did a 3% COLA, and just only COLA, I'm talking outside of pay increases, and it would leave 55 positions behind. If we did a 4% COLA, it'd leave 51 positions behind. 5% COLA would leave 31 positions behind, and a 6% COLA would leave 14 positions behind. And then even if we did a 6% COLA, 14 positions on top of that would not even be met at that point. So it's a give or take with us because we have so many positions that are funded through different sources. In County General, there's 103 positions funded out of there. And then 67 positions are funded out of criminal justice, and then 2 are funded out of the PSAP fund, which are 2 dispatchers. So just to kind of give a little bit of clarity where our payrolls come from.
Thank you so much. So y'all heard, depending on the COLA, this gets changed dramatically, so this may be something we can take up in the spring.
No question.
Yes.
Always appreciate your explanations. Now, obviously, this is a kind of ballpark question because I don't think you can answer this for every position. But was there a look at other counties to kind of compare generically, if you will, of these positions or maybe the biggest positions? Because I know that we often compare with Celine and Sebastian. Was there any type of that going into this?
So that's what we presented to the personnel committee is our salary surveys. We did a salary survey for every one of our positions. And 113 out of the 172 showed to need the increase at what we requested,
gotcha.
As long as it didn't throw off our internal pay scale within our ranks. So that's what the data showed with all of the class 6 counties. We didn't exclude any of those when we came up with our data.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's see.
I do have a comment.
Yeah.
With all of that being said, I myself, for this particular group in our resolution, I would feel more comfortable putting the COLA in and then revisiting those numbers and those positions. So I would like to make a motion to table resolution 2305.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the tabling of 23-05? All in favor of tabling 23-05, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Ford.
Thank you.
Make a motion that we discuss resolution 2306.
Second.
All right. We have a motion and a second. This is the coroner's office position. Any discussion on this? We have Administrator Higgins approaching the well. Are you in the well?
Yes, sir. I send apologies for the coroner. She actually called me just before the meeting and was called out on the death call. And since she doesn't have a deputy, she had to go herself.
Well played.
That's a big
be a new evolved position that we're discussing.
This is an existing position. It's basically a promotion. So yes, this person will have, you know, she doesn't have a chief deputy, so she does have deputies, but if she doesn't have a chief deputy, that literally can take over when she's on vacation or out of town or in training, those types of things. So this is a request for a chief deputy with a corresponding bump in salary to compensate for the additional responsibility that this chief deputy will be doing.
So this person who would be taking that spot, there's another spot, I guess, that would need to be occupied, or is just maybe out of figure.
That's a good question, Jess. It's not a headcount change at all.
Okay.
I'd like to clarify. If you'll turn to page 49, I think this is what you're saying. Right? This is going to take either position 1223 or 1224 to a chief deputy position instead of either an assistant coroner or a deputy coroner.
That's correct.
You're just changing the title and with it.
With a corresponding increase.
Does that explain?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's what I thought you were saying.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Treasurer.
Yeah.
So with that clarification, I'd like to make a motion to move 2306 to the
approval. To approve it?
Yes.
Yes.
Second.
All right. Any discussion on the approval of 23-06? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. You have any other motions up your sleeve?
Make a motion to put resolution 2307 on the table.
Second.
All right, we got a motion and a second. Any discussion? This is our treasurer's office. He's already in the well.
You want me to go up there and stand in front of everybody?
No, that's
nice.
He wants
it.
It's
only
fair.
You think it's only fair use?
Okay. I believe this is one of those deals where this is a falling through the crack type of situation. This is one of these, our attorney put it best when he said it's an intra position issue. I didn't know how we were doing the in 2023. I thought we were going to get a COLA or a raise increase. Didn't know we were going to do both. I misread that. And then when it came May, I was looking for a new chief deputy and didn't come in May when I should have. So it's partly my fault. I'm trying to keep my deputy position kind of in line with deputy positions in the county clerk's office that increased from 541 in 2022 to 52,000 in 2023. Once again, they do a lot of the same duties in payroll and AP. Once again, I have one deputy, and that's what I'm coming after. I'm asking for 48.5. It's not the 52 like the others are, but I think it kind of gets us in the ballpark.
That kind of confusion that he was talking about is something that we as a committee will seek to eliminate by having these open conversations, and even me myself having conversations with the elected official as the chair of this committee to just eliminate that type of confusion so that we can all dance off the same sheet of music here.
And when I say trying to get us fall into the cracks, it was my fault. It was the position is the position. I say positions are what positions are. It doesn't matter who's in the position. I don't care. You've got a job, you've got a duty, you've got a responsibility. And just trying to get it equal to other jobs that have the same duties and responsibilities. This is one where I know that other people are putting it off, but I think in order to get me close to there, I need to get that increase before the COLA. And that's why I'm asking for it now instead of holding up until May.
If this passes, this goes before the Concord?
If this passes, it will go into the budget.
Budget.
Well, you'll see it in these line items when we take up that budget.
I make a motion to pass Resolution 2307.
All right, we got a motion second. Any discussion on the passage of 2307? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. What do y'all got next?
Make a motion to put resolution 2308. Actually, I might like to make a resolution to put 2308 to table that.
Second up.
We have a motion and a second for tabling of 23-08. Any questions, comments, discussion?
I'd just like to make a comment, even though you're not going to hear it. One of the reasons I come in a little higher probably than Scott is my girls are required to wear a lot of hats. I wear a lot of hats, and my girls are required to wear a lot of hats. We service the, we do the payroll, we do the accounts payable, we do elections, we do marriages, we do passports, and so we wear a lot of different hats throughout every single day. So just a point that you can't always compare us across the board because of the different hats some of us might wear. But Telly okay with tabling.
More questions from the committee? You have a question? Or you have a discussion? All right, you guys are getting ready. Good, good, good. All right, all in favor of tabling 23-08?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
I'd like to make a motion that we pass resolution 2309 on further.
Pass it, yeah.
This is
second.
All right, we've got a motion and a second. Any discussion on 23-09? Judge Weaver, I will yield to you.
Okay, I have a lot of handouts. If y'all want me to pass those out, I want y'all to take. I'm going to talk it pretty quick. I know some of y'all were here earlier. One of the things I'll say while I'm passing out the handouts is we talked about the positions and trying to keep them. I'll point out that I have had I am on my fourth trial court administrator since I've been on the bench. I've been here for 5.5 years. Three out of those four left me for higher paying jobs. Okay? So now I've got a law clerk. He is a full-time position, but he's also my second law clerk. My other law clerk left me to go to work in Pulaski County for a lawyer making $70,000 when he was making $12 an hour here, 14, whatever it was. So now we've got this full-time position. So what I'm trying to do is keep these rates comparable to these positions so I can stop losing employees. But like I said, three out of four of the people that I've lost in the last 5 years, actually, if you count my law clerk, so that would be five. But anyway, once you get that, four of the folks have left me for higher paying jobs. And not even comparably. I mean, we were talking $20,000. You can't blame somebody for leaving for $20,000, even if they're having to drive to litter off. It's not that bad of a drive. So what I handed you are all of the stats. I found my sticky note that I lost earlier. And I'll kind of go through these one by one. They're pretty easy to read. I could not just go by the Class 6 counties because, as we've talked about, the Class 6 counties do differ quite a bit in population size. And they also don't all have a law firm. Now, one of the things that we do differently than the other Class 6 counties are we are much larger in our court systems, and that's a lot of what I added in here. There's the job description from a law firm, which is required for your license. So we'll start with the first chart that I gave you. That is Faulkner County Division 1. That is me. Those show you my case. My Benjamin County's coming out. I'm tired. Those show you my case number filings in Faulkner County for each year. And as you can see, there's been a steady increase. If you go to the next chart, that is Pulaski County Division 16 and 17. The reason I included Pulaski County in here is because we know how big Pulaski County is population-wise. However, when you look at the two divisions in Pulaski County that do the same type of casework that I do, my numbers are still far exceeding those numbers that are being filed in a Pulaski County court. Pulaski County court has a law clerk. That is the number that I came up with for the salary request that I'm asking for my law clerk. Sebastian County is number 7. That is one of our Class 6 counties. However, you can see again the huge difference in the case numbers. Just 2023 alone is 1,159 projected cases for that division. Mine is 2,012. So I'm almost 1,000 cases more to the closest county in our size for a division that's similar to mine. The next chart is Saline County, because there was not really a division that did everything that I do in the way that we've got our docket agreement or the what types of cases I hear. I included several different divisions, as you'll see in these. none of these compared to Faulkner County either. I don't know what's happening in Faulkner County. First, I have some lawsuits, but we have a ton of them. All right, the next one is a little chart that shows you each division. We have five divisions in our circuit division. I don't know what the NA down in the bottom is, but anyhow, if you go over to the far right, that is the total number of cases that have been filed in every division since 2021. First division, which is what I cover, has 5,677 cases that have been filed. The closest behind me is 4,711. Below that is 3,973. So y'all can see the number of cases that I have. The other one is another little Excel sheet that just shows you on some of the things that my law clerk has been working on, as well as my part-time assistant. We are going to try to help Division 4. This is very, very time-consuming, but so far there have been a total of 2,574 filings that he has filed this year. These are either notices that have to be not only generated in every case, then they have to look up the attorney and try to find their latest mailing address, send that out, as well as the party and the defendants and things like that in the case. However, I will say one thing I'm working on is trying to get a rule change at the Supreme Court, because when budget comes up, you'll see how much money I've spent in postage this year. They're hoping to change that rule. We don't have to mail those notices out because we're having to handwrite all of these envelopes. All right, then the last sheet that I got is a salary survey. Again, each division, I put what their assistant was, not necessarily their law clerk, because not every division has a law clerk. In my understanding, a second division is not required. Their law clerk is not required to have a law license, and I think that they rotate maybe every year to 2 years. I'm not 100% on that, but I was told when I checked with the chief of staff that that was not a requirement that a licensed attorney is in. Someone had asked me earlier the difference between a licensed attorney and why that's necessary, because if they don't have their license, either they haven't passed the bar yet, they're getting ready to take the bar, or their license could have been stripped from them, and I didn't say that earlier. They just have a law degree, or just a law degree. So they can't practice law, but they know law. So those are going to be the three people that are going to apply for these jobs. And those people are, unless they're, you know, can't practice law for some reason, are going to be wanting to have those higher paying jobs. So that being said, you can look and see the also at the bottom, what I did was an average salary for licensed attorneys that are paid for by the county where we are right now. That included the county attorney, a deputy prosecuting attorney, and a public defender. What I want to point out is the public defender is only part-time. My full-time employee is only making $2,500 more than a part-time employee, and he's making about $7,000 less than an assistant in another division. And I say $7,000, that's on the low end of $52,000. That's not even looking at the chief that's making $62,000, which is close to the deputy prosecuting attorney. So I know I went over that pretty quickly. So any questions? Yes, ma'am.
Does either Searcy or Van Buren County chip in to pay for this position?
So Searcy County said that they would some, but they couldn't promise me what. That was one of the other things I want to talk about. I have been talking to the chair of the, to answer your question, no.
Okay.
But I've been talking with the chair of the budget committee in Van Buren County and asked her if I wanted to switch some of the money that I have there to this position, would they be opposed to reimbursing Faulkner County? And she said she had no problem with it. Now, Mr. Murphy and I have just literally, when I say briefly, spoke about it. Would that be a possibility if I'm like, hey, I've got these two other counties that are going to commit, you know, this much money, and this other county is going to commit this much money, then can we do some sort of ordinance or an agreement? Because I know there's the what we call the hybrid between the city of Conway and Faulkner County, where Faulkner County reimburses the city of Conway for some of the clerks in district court. And I know that because I used to be there. However, I don't know how it works when there's counties that are from different, I mean, you know, because city of Conway and Faulkner County are all the same in the same county. So I don't know how it works from county to county. So that's something I've got to look into. There is a statute, though, that I did find that does require the counties to, it says shall, pay for secretarial work. Now, while it's not a secretary position, I think the argument could still be made, if you're going to be required to pay for that position, then you have to pay part of the position. So if we want to call a law clerk or secretary to meet the statute for the other counties, I can do that, but I don't think that they're going to buck me on that part with the statute. And I've shown that to both counties, and they're both being pretty receptive of it. What we've been talking about is maybe the percentage in our caseload. These numbers I gave you are just Faulkner County, though. So that's my caseload just here. That's not my caseload and the two northern counties as well. Whereas Pulaski County, that is their caseload. I'm not sure how they did the Perry County, Pulaski County split, but what I'm showing you those numbers right now, I just wanted to show the condition because I'm asking for Faulkner County to pay for it. I want Faulkner County numbers to be the numbers that I'm showing you all. But yes, it is on my radar to ask for them to help pay for the law clerk position. And this is again Mr. Joyner, my law clerk, Exhibit A, and he is here. So
thank you for the cookies too.
Oh, you're right.
So if we pass this, then is it an option, or how would that work if one of these other counties said, "Hey, yeah, we're going to chip in $15,000 for this nice fella"? You know, how do we? How does that work?
A couple things. One, we can do an interlocal agreement with Van Buren County, in which we basically spell out what Van Buren County would be paying to us. All the payroll would come through Faulkner County. So I think this position currently is a Faulkner County employee, so all the benefits and everything are already here. So I think there's a way we can do that. There's a method. It's just a matter of agreeing. Now, part of the process, though, is my guess that Van Buren County is doing the same thing Faulkner County is doing, which is their annual budget here shortly. So, you know, discussing with County Judge James in Van Buren County to try and coordinate with them. I mean, that's a potential but it's sort of a poker game, too, about who's going to move first. You know, obviously, and we would want them to appropriate first, and they're probably going to want us to appropriate first, and so there's a little bit of a struggle there. But I think we have interlocal agreement ahead of time that would help.
And I have the date. They had a budget organization meeting. I don't know what they called it, but what they did is they set out the dates of when the meetings are going to be. And I spoke with the chairman before about this, is trying to make sure, because also trying to juggle three counties and three county budgets on the same night. I'm not opposed to if y'all would like for me to try to get the other counties done first, get commitment from them, and then when I come back here, you know, if I'm asking my number and say, listen, here's the number I'm asking, here's the promise that I got from two other counties, and go from there and see where we are. I don't mind doing that. I don't think that they will mind doing that, because it's already on their radar, because I've already been hitting them up about it and saying, hey, here's what I'm thinking I'm going to do, here's where I'm going. But, I mean, I'm going to be completely transparent. What was I doing until you brought it up? I'm going to come to each county and say it, and then come at the end and do it all. Like you said, it was a poker game. But also, you asked me a direct question, I'm going to give you an honest answer.
Thank you.
Justice, any questions? Any concerns? Thoughts?
I mean, I think that the raises is needed. I mean, all this, the caseload is incredible. So I'm not doubting that. If there's an option of getting some other counties to put some, you know, money in it, then I'm all for that.
And I think if it were passed to the full court and I'm able to work with the chairman on getting, well, I guess it would be this, but getting my dates set here after my final dates there, when I come back, I can have a definite answer maybe.
So would we need a motion to amend, or how would that work?
Right now we have a motion to approve this ordinance as now. As worded. One thing, and Judge Weaver brought it up, I'll just we'll review. I want to point a couple things out. You know, she mentioned the licensed attorneys that we have in our county, right? We have Mr. Murphy. We have a deputy prosecuting attorney. There was one more.
Public defender.
It's part-time. All right. Mr. Murphy obviously has a large job and a large role within our county, so he's not, I wouldn't consider him normal for a licensed attorney. You know, he has an elevated responsibility.
And I would agree 100%.
Yes. I know you do. Yes. Our deputy prosecuting attorney, I'm just looking at our budget book, is sitting at 65, is where they're budgeted at for our deputy. How many deputy prosecuting attorneys do they have?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea.
They've got a handful.
Yeah.
And there's not just one. You know, this is just the one that we pay for. I would assume the others are at about the same amount, but I honestly don't know the answer to that to be certain, because they're paid for by the state, I believe.
I would think that they're probably more, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I could find out.
I don't know. So there's one thing to look at. Because, and in this position as well, it you can see in section one, it's administrative support law. We're changing it kind of from an administrative support position to a law clerk position. That's like the decision that we're making, and we're saying that we believe a salary of whatever's proposed on here, 71 some odd, is reflective of what that law clerk should make. I do think, whether it's this committee or personnel committee that needs to do it, to compare that to our deputy prosecuting attorney and what they're making, and figure out if that's apples and apples and apples and oranges or whatever, to make that consideration. It's difficult when you start looking at our other circuit court divisions because, like she pointed out, they're so different in what they handle, you know, and first division's caseload is much more significant than the second division, which is juvenile, which is different than third and fourth and fifth.
I've already corrected.
You know, so you can kind of look through those divisions and see that it, you know, this is the only salary that we pay for your division, is this position. Second division's got a lot of juvenile officers, but Judge mentioned earlier, you got a chief of staff and a law clerk, and Judge Braswell's. Third division, they have a couple. Third division and fifth division both have a circuit court clerk that they pay at $52,000 a year. So I think there's a lot of considerations when you look at that going across the board. I just wanted to point those things out. That's all I have. Nothing connected to that.
Do we have a motion and a second to pass this?
There's a motion and a second to approve this resolution right now. Yes. Do y'all have any other?
Unless you want to amend it.
Unless you want to amend the motion.
That's what I was asking.
To try to finagle this.
Your decision.
Finagling.
You can withdraw your motion, you can amend it, or you can keep it.
I'm going to give y'all a second just to breathe.
Head around all this.
Yeah.
So if we do amend it, we don't even know how much we need to amend it to because we don't know what the other counties are going to do.
That's.
What it would take would probably be tabling this until we can have a discussion with Judge Weaver and put her on the agenda at a later date. The only bad thing that does is that it confuses a raise increase in with considering the consideration of the budgets during budget time. Does that make sense? That's kind of the pickle. You get that other county money, but now we're also doing what we said we didn't want to do.
If we got the money.
Yes. So that's the.
I would feel confident saying I could probably think I can get at least 10,000, if not 15. But 10, I feel pretty comfortable with based on the conversations that I've been having with the folks in there. Now, you know, my dream would be passing it as is, coming back and saying, hey, listen, they've guaranteed me this much money, so this is going to, and this passes, and then the county gets reimbursed $15,000 for part of that. Because I think that part, and Mr. Murphy, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding would be that agreement between the counties can't even happen until everything is settled. Because I'm wanting the 71,499 based on the Faulkner County numbers, not based on the numbers up there. That data I gave you is based on Faulkner County only, Pulaski County only numbers, not the other ones. Because I think technically, I guess there could be an argument made that, well, it needs to be more than that than if we're going to bring in a bigger caseload onto me, because Pulaski County caseload is already less than what I have, which is my Faulkner County caseload. And I'm not going to ask for that. I mean, I don't want to do that. I want to say, listen, this is going to be a caseload kept district-wide. And then I think what would have to happen, and again, Mr. Murphy, the agreement would have to come maybe in January. I think the Faulkner County pays, and Scott may know this better, the county back in October. For some reason, I feel like the Faulkner County reimburses the city of Conway in district court in October. I can't remember. It's been too long since I've been in district court.
We actually do it in January the following year.
January the following year. Okay. So I don't know.
And also, we're respectfully, a lot of the numbers that we're talking about as far as being 10,000 or 15, just like we had with Judge Clausen a couple weeks ago, remember that the $10,000 in proposed salary increase really can mean 30% more in total increases as well. So we had the issue in reverse where Judge Clausen only had so much money to pay his employee, and it was substantially less by the time you take out all the benefits and retirement package.
But that was a grant. That was a grant issue.
That was a grant issue, but it's the same issue as far as if Van Buren County can contribute $10,000, that doesn't mean $10,000 necessarily in pay.
Yeah.
With those explanations being said, with the numbers being Baldwin County only, and with this being an involved position, I am going to keep my motion on the table to go ahead and pass this resolution 2309.
All
right. Second that.
Any questions or points of discussion on the approval of 23-09? Anyone out in the crowd? Y'all are good? All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you, Judge.
I'll have good news next month.
All right, Jess. This is what I said earlier. We are down to the budget orientation part. Do you want to tackle that tonight, or do you want to try to meet again on our... So, I sent y'all an email, I believe, just kind of outlining our month of November. Budget and Finance will meet on Thursday, November 2nd, to begin considering budgets. So, do y'all want to look at meeting... maybe Tuesday, October 24th, or Tuesday. You probably don't want to meet Halloween night. Do y'all want to meet Tuesday, October 24th to do a budget orientation?
Yes.
Yes? I'm seeing yeses?
Aye.
If you bring
all
food.
Right, that's three yeses. I'm calling it good. All right.
Bring food.
I'll get it scheduled. Johnny will bring food. All right. Any announcements for the Budget and Finance Committee? I announced that the... Infrastructure Committee has done a fantastic job waiting for us.
We're so sorry.
Motion to adjourn?
I apologize.
Approved? All right, we're adjourned.